Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of Abraham, the Son of David, our Savior. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about the genealogy of Jesus Christ. In other words, his family tree, his origins. Would you like to look at where Jesus Christ came from? I think it's sometimes fun for us individually to look at our own family trees, and I'd like to start out today by just sharing with you a little bit about my origins, my family history, where I come from. Fortunately, on both sides of my family, I've had relatives who've researched this thing back into the 1600s. So, with a name like Lisieux, of course, we came from France. And we were actually Protestants who fled from the Catholic persecution and got out to the English Channel island of Jersey off of the coast of France. And there is where you'll find most Lisieux's to this day. They became English, and from there we went over to French Canada and then down into America. We also, on my father's side, have a very strong German history. In fact, we still have a rocking chair at home where I was rocked as a baby, Naomi was rocked as a baby, my father was rocked as a baby, my grandmother was rocked as a baby, and I think her grandmother was rocked as a baby from Germany. On my mother's side, we go back. Great-grandpa Wheeler, he researched our family history. It's pretty interesting. And on both sides there, we went west in a covered wagon. One of my female relatives going back, she was known for her ruby red hair. And unfortunately, the Indians also took a fancy to it and scalped it. She went the rest of her days with a stocking on her head, it is said. And my great-grandpa Wheeler rode west when he was 18 from the Carolinas to Texas on a horse by himself, and then met my great-grandmother and went up to Kansas. And then you go back. My my daughter can actually be a registered daughter of the American Civil War. We fought on both sides, fighting each other. We go back to the American Revolution. We landed at Scituate, Massachusetts in 1630. In fact, my uncle loves to tell the story that we loaned a saddle to an American spy against the British during the Revolution, and the saddle was never returned. And so if he could only find the receipt, this knowing my uncle, and he could, with the rate of inflation, he figured we could get a couple million dollars from the government. But knowing how family trees are, and we went back to Bruce King of Scots as well, you go back until you hit a bad apple, right? And then you take a left turn until all of a sudden you're kings and queens and knights and all kinds of wonderful things. I'll share a little bit later about some of the bad apples also in my history. And as Larry Apple said earlier on, in his family tree, there are no bad apples. So, but at any rate, today we're going to be talking. You can learn a lot of things about yourself and your origins through a study of the family tree. But today we're going to be learning about the origins of Jesus Christ through looking at his genealogy in the scriptures. And so this is going to be a fascinating study. I hope you will share with me in understanding what does the Holy Spirit say to us about the history of Jesus Christ, who he came from. Well, the first thing the Holy Spirit would say to us today is his genealogy is very, very important. How do we know that? Answer, because it's been recorded for us twice in sacred scriptures by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. You have Matthew chapter 1, and then you also have Luke chapter 3 tell of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. So anybody here, first of all, going to argue against the Holy Spirit that it's important? No, the Holy Spirit wants this in here for your edification and encouragement in the faith. So let's see what we can discover hidden there among this list of, okay, seemingly boring names. You read the Bible, you get to this, and you're like, hey, I'm on to the next chapter, right? Anybody read through these things? They're important. The Holy Spirit has stuff for us in there. So, what does Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3, the genealogies of Jesus Christ, tell us? Well, the first thing we can be encouraged about is that they both affirm the virgin birth of Jesus. That Joseph, although he was his legal father, was not Jesus' blood father. Where can we find this? Well, let's look at Matthew chapter 1, start out. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob. Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, etc. Now when it says, was the father of, that word is also translated in the King James, begat. You know, Abraham begat Isaac, Isaac begat Jacob. What happens when you get a begat? You got a man and a woman, right? Okay? That goes all the way down through the history here of Matthew chapter 1 till you get to the end. Eleazar, the father of Nathan, Nathan, the father of Jacob, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called the Christ. You got begat, 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 father of, father of, father of, all the way down till you get to Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born. No begat there. We got a different begat there called the Holy Spirit, right? Now, how do you know of whom Jesus was born doesn't refer to Joseph and not to Mary? Well, it's simple. If you look at the Greek, and I'll just do that for you, the word there in the Greek is heis, which is feminine, which means of whom was born, refers not to Joseph, but to Mary. Jesus was born of Mary in the house of David, in the house of Joseph, his father, but not by his blood. That's going to be important for later on. And then actually, so it's affirmed here, virgin birth, and if that's not enough for you, the next verses, birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. So, virgin birth. How about Luke? Luke chapter 3 begins this, verse 23. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph, the son of Heli, the son of Mattath, the son of Levi, etc. So, Luke says it was supposed. It wasn't the truth, but he was supposed to be the son of Joseph. But rather, as it says in Luke chapter 1, it says, the angel spoke to Mary, don't be afraid. Behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll get the throne of his father David. And how? How can this be, since I'm a virgin, she says. And the angel answers, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And so, both of these texts affirm something great about his origins, don't they? Look, God himself has visited his people. The God who created the world has come to us in the person of Jesus. He was born without father and mother. He was in the house of his father, born by the blood of his mother. But who's his father? Because it says of he's going to be born of the Holy Spirit. It says, therefore, the child shall be called holy, the Son of God. We have the Son of God here on earth in Jesus Christ. And that's a fulfillment of Psalm 2, verse 7, right? Can you quote that? I will tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "Today, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee." Jesus is the only one. When you get to a begat, it's God, in this case, with Jesus Christ. That's why we can say in John 3:16, say it with me, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." So praise God, we have that for his origins already. That his origins, as it says in Micah 5, are from ancient days, from days of eternity. It says in Micah 5, 2. So there's one thing. The next thing we can learn through his genealogy is that Jesus Christ is and has the right to the throne of David. And that's one of the great purposes in these genealogies. He is the rightful heir. You remember the days, not literally, but the days of King Arthur? Remember that? Whoso shall pulleth this sword from this stone and anvil shall be the true king born of England. And many tried, but only young Arthur could pull it out because he was the rightful king. Well, we're talking here about the rightful king of the earth, of the Jews, of earth and heaven, King of Kings. Let's see it proved for us here. You can tell Jesus is the rightful king to the throne of David in two ways. Well, let's take a look here at the genealogies. I got some of them up here for you. Let's look at Matthew's genealogy first. Jesus, it says, the son of Joseph, the son of Jacob, son of Nathan. In Luke, you get Jesus is the son of Joseph, the son of Heli, Matthat, and Levi. Well, what's going on? Wait a second. I thought there's no contradictions in the Bible, right? Isn't there, shouldn't they be the same? One genealogy, right? You know, a lot of cynics, a lot of unbelievers stumble over these verses because they just don't have the spiritual guts by the Holy Spirit to look into it and see the simple truth. I can explain this difference here in one question for you. Ready? You ready? How many of you have two genealogies? You do? We all have two genealogies, right? Why? Because you got a mom and a dad. And that's what the Holy Spirit's delivered to us in the Scriptures. You got, well, one of them's the mother and one of them's the father. Let's see which one's which. You go to Matthew, chapter 1. Book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob, etc. And then it says down here, Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who's called the Christ. So, whose genealogy is Matthew's? Huh? Obviously, Jacob begat Joseph. This is Joseph's genealogy right here. This is Jesus' father by law. He was born, and here you can see his whole history. Jesus was born in the house of David. Important, if you're going to see in a second. How about in this other one here, and Luke is not quite as specific, but it says here, Jesus, when he began his ministry, about 30 years of old, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. Not really, but as was supposed. And then most of your translations say son of Heli, son of, etc. You can say that if you want to, but in Greek it's of Heli, of Matthat, of Levi, of Melchi. In other words, the focus here is not on Joseph, but on Jesus' physical line. And Joseph then can be rightly called the son of Heli. Why? Through marriage, right? To Mary, in the same way that I'm the son of Beth's parents, by law. So we have two genealogies here. How do the two go together, though? And why does God give us both? This is Mary here. Well, I want you to know, Jesus is the rightful king of this earth and of the throne of David. And he has it in two very special ways. Listen to this promise. 2 Samuel chapter 12. God speaks verse 12, God speaks to David. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I'll raise up your offspring after you, who shall come forth from your own body. I'll establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I'll establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I'll be his father, and he shall be my son. So, how does this help? I'll tell you. Joseph, because he is Jesus' father legally, has the right to the throne of David legally. Because he is born into his house, and Joseph was his legal father. Why then do we need Mary? Because Joseph was not the physical descendant of Jesus, was he? Our ancestor, I should say. He was of his house, but he didn't have his blood. But Mary's genealogy in Luke has the blood, right? He is a physical offspring. And so why is this important? Let's look, actually, at Joseph's genealogy here. When you get to David, because both of these, by the way, go back to whom? David. Both Mary and Joseph were of the house of David. But notice Joseph's line. It goes to all the kings. David, then Solomon, then Rehoboam, then Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joram, Uzziah, etc. Who are all these people? The kings of Judah, right? The line of kings. But then you get to the very last of the kings, Jeremiah chapter 22, a guy named Coniah. You heard of him? This is when they're about to be expelled to Babylon. As I live, says the Lord, though Coniah, who's in Joseph's line, right? Though Coniah, the king of Judah, were the signet on my right hand, yet I would tear you off and give you into the hand of those who seek your life, and to the hand of those of whom you are afraid, even into Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. Sound like God's a little angry at Coniah? And what's he say to Coniah? Verse 30, thus says the Lord, write this man, Coniah, down as childless, a man who shall not succeed in his days, for none of his offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David and ruling again in Judah. Coniah is in Joseph's line. None of Coniah's physical offspring shall succeed in sitting on the throne of David. But is Jesus the physical offspring of Coniah? Is he the physical offspring of Joseph? No. He was born into the house of David. And that's why there's such emphasis in the scriptures on Joseph being of the house of David. He has the right. He is the rightful heir to the throne, and yet he's not born in that line of blood. But the promise, 2 Samuel 5 said to David, from your own body I'll raise up your offspring, and I'll establish his kingdom forever. Where do we get the blood? We get the blood through Mary, because she also, David went to Solomon, and then David had another son, amongst others, named Nathan, of whom Mary traces her line. We have the blood. So Jesus, my friends, is the son of David, according to all the promises, and I could quote 1,000 to them, that there's a king coming who owns this earth, who owns heaven, and his name is verified here. His name is Jesus. He fulfills everything. Praise God. One more thing then, which is not so short. So we're going to keep going here. One more thing about his genealogy. Who's in his genealogy, in Matthew's side especially? We said before, hey, look, your pastor's got, the West on the covered wagon. Maybe a gunslinger in there or something like that. I got the American Revolution, spies, King of Scots. I didn't share with you all the bad things that go on in my history. I got one relative who hanged herself in her attic years and years ago. I got another one on my father's side who was a drunkard riverboat gambler. You know, I got my bad apples in there, but look what happens. You'd think Jesus would have a pure line, looking all good all the way down. No. Let's look at his line. Matthew 1, who's in it? Says, Abraham, father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah. His brothers, Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah by Tamar. Tamar? Who's this woman? She was a harlot. She tricked her father-in-law into sleeping with her, which is also incest, in order to have someone in the line of the Christ. God puts her in there. Why? We'll talk about in a second. Here's another woman we get to. It says, and Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Minadab, etc. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab. Another woman, the second one. What's she like? Rahab, anybody know her? Everybody knew her, huh? Yeah. Rahab was a harlot from Jericho, but she was saved by faith. By sending out the spies, right? So here's another harlot. And then we have Boaz, the father of... She was with Boaz. Had Boaz. Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth. Who's Ruth? Another woman. It's unusual to have women, but God puts them in here. Ruth followed Naomi, remember, back to Israel. Your God shall be my God. She also was justified by faith. And yet, what's her history? She was a Moabitess. Who are the Moabites? They came from Lot's family. And what happened? How do you get the Moabites? His two daughters got him drunk and slept with him when they left Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where you get Ruth. That's her lineage. And that's the Christ lineage. And then going back here, we also go Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David. David, the father of Solomon by It doesn't even say Bathsheba. By the wife of another man. By the wife of Uriah. And what's my point? What's God's point in here? He put these women in here, and believe me, the men are no party either. All right? David committed adultery with her. He put them in here to show that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know, you don't have to be the elite, perfect, righteous ones, not that there is any righteous, to be saved by him. This is his genealogy. As it says in Hebrews chapter 2, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, in every way like us except sin, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of him of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it's not with angels that he's concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he's suffered and been tempted, he's able to help those who are tempted. Are you a sinner today? There's a man who was dying once, and he said, I see the sheet upon which Peter saw his vision, and I see wild animals, and he couldn't finish it, and his son said, and it says, creeping things, Father. And he says, ah, yes, creeping things. That's how I got into a creeping thing saved by grace. Jesus' genealogy teaches you, not only born of a virgin, not only the rightful heir to the throne, Savior of the world, but also he came to mix and mingle with sinners. For truly I came not to call the righteous, he says, but sinners to repentance. This genealogy speaks of the grace of our King. And in conclusion, I'll say this. He so loved you that as we've looked through his family tree, guess what? He's grafted you into it. He has made you his descendant. He has made you his offspring through faith in Jesus Christ. He has become your Father and Lord and King and loving Savior for all time. And so let's rejoice then in this genealogy that you have been brought into the home, to the house of God by grace, through faith, in baptism, in the gospel of the free forgiveness of sins, by his cross, by his shed blood, by his resurrection, by his ascension. This Jesus, whose origin is from of old, from days of eternity, has come. And he is our God, our lover, our Savior, our King. In Jesus' name, amen.